All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. How are you guys doing? You all right? It's been a little while since we've podcasted. Apologies for that, just typical busy life stuff as we all experience. But we've got a very cool episode today and then another one coming very shortly. So today, the primary interview is with a chap called Liam Dennehy, who is called Natam Sayin on Twitter, and he's a very interesting chap, and we have a really good discussion. The main thing that he's known for is that he booked Oasis before Noel was in the band in for rehearsal studios, and had a bit of an interaction with them back then, and has a demo tape from the early days with Alice, Take Me and Reminisce. So we have a bit of a chat with him about his time dealing with the guys and just general stuff, as we often do. And we will also be digging into the song Bag It Up for the hashtag OasisA2Z feature. So we've got a couple of listener thoughts on Bag It Up, which is cool. And we've got some new music as well. A couple of people have sent me some tracks, new music tracks, so we will get to those in a bit as well. But first off, in the world of Oasis news, we are coming to the end of an era. So Liam is now done. He just did a mini tour in East Asia, did Japan and Singapore, and he was at the Singapore Grand Prix, and he's just done a couple of shows in Japan, at which one of them he brought back Be Here Now, which was good. He's dropped that from the set for a little while, but that came back, so let's have a little bit of that. What's your face Now, I don't know if you caught that, but it sounds to me there, like when he said sun, did he actually say scum? I didn't quite catch it, but maybe he did, which I think would be a fair thing to say. So that is pretty much Liam's year done. It's actually I'm recording this on Friday night, and it is actually his birthday today. He tweeted and sort of thanking people for the kind birthday wishes. He is now going to be taking some time off between now and Christmas, although there is rumour that he might do a couple of like shows, some acoustic shows maybe, but we'll see. But yeah, officially this is the end of kind of the As You Were era, I suppose. And then he'll be coming back next year with the new album, and whether it's new tour or whatever, we don't know. But yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic to have him out there and doing what he's done all the way through 2018. It's been absolutely brilliant. Noel is also pretty much done. He's got a FIFA Awards show coming up. Plus, there's also a small South American tour, and then he's also done for the year. We had an interesting one that came up the other day. He's actually got a book coming out, which is which is apparently written by him, and it's also got a lot of photos from the recent tour, as shot by Sharon Latham, Snapper Shaz, as she's known, who is absolutely brilliant and has been there every step of the journey. So I imagine that'll be absolutely brilliant. And he's also doing a Q&A session in London. And thank you to a couple of people that flagged that up to me. The date when he's there I'm not around. I've got other stuff going on, so I can't go. But our intrepid reporter Richard Bowes is down there, and so yeah, I've told him he needs to go and like collar Noel and try and get an interview. But yeah, good luck with that one. Yeah, and Noel was at the Mercury's this week, the Mercury Music Prize. He we talked about it a few weeks ago that he was nominated, Liam wasn't, which was quite interesting. He didn't win. I don't think many people expected him to. I think it was a very worthy winner in Wolf Alice, who are a great little band. And Noel didn't perform, but he did get caught on the red carpet and give his views on the current political situation.
Actor Danny Dyer famously spoke about Brexit on Good Evening Britain recently.
Who knows about Brexit? It's like this mad riddle that no one knows what it is, right?
And last night, pop stars equally happy to talk politics.
They're still lying to us now. You know, Theresa May, bless her, is lying about the deal, and the Ramonas, whatever they're called, are lying about what's going to happen, and the 350 millionists and Boris Johnson and all the rest of them. They should just leave us out of it. Tell us what it is and we'll get on with it.
This was an interesting one, and thank you to Carlo at Sigs and Alk 11 for taking this to my attention. This is at one of the recent gigs that Liam did, and he, in the middle of Champagne Supernova, he just dropped in this this little point about having to sign a piece of paper to do Noel's songs. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of this. I know that there's sort of performing rights, PRS, that if you perform someone's songs, as in not necessarily the songwriter, but the publisher, you do actually need to get authority to do that. And so Liam, in performing songs written by Noel and under that publishing deal, he would have to get the rights to do that, and Noel would be getting some sort of payment for that. So yeah, so obviously he's had to sign to say, but ultimately I think the big difference between BDI and Liam Gallagher is that, you know, is getting the chance to see Liam do, you know, all those Oasis songs, was such a big difference to me versus seeing BDI. So yeah, I'm sorry, mate, Liam, keep signing the paper, because, you know, we need to see you do those big songs. That's how you get to do these Finsbury Park and Lancashire Cricket Ground clubs. Lest we forget, BDI were struggling to sell out, you know, small venues. So, yeah, long may it continue. Just quickly, I just wanted to mention the Sonic Visions podcast. So, if you head over to Vimeo and search for Sonic Visions, you'll find us. Basically, it is the new show that I've put together, specifically... it was put together for an interview with Mike Bruce, but that's sort of been a bit held up and delayed, but that should be coming soon. But in the meantime, if you head over to Vimeo, there's an interview I did there with Ken Womack, and we talk all about the Beatles, and we talk about specifically the Beatles music videos. And Carlo Sigsout, who I've just mentioned before, he put a fantastic video together for us. So the audio is me talking to Ken, but then this brilliant video has been put together by Carlo. And yes, it's on Vimeo rather than YouTube, because it's got Beatles material that's all copyrighted, and the Apple YouTube police are all over it. So yeah, we can't get it on YouTube, I'm afraid. I tried and it was blocked. So if you head over to Vimeo and check that out, it's really cool. Watch this space. The Mike Bruce one should be with you soon. And if that's something that you're interested in and you wanted to see more of, then let me know. I love music videos. I find it really interesting. I've approached a couple of music video directors to carry on doing that. You know, like Nigel Dick, who's done stuff with Oasis and stuff. But I say, if people aren't too bothered about it, then I won't really persevere with that. As I said, it was really just for this Mike Bruce one that I thought was worth doing, and then this Ken Womack one sort of worked out as well. So yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. And what I love about those ones is that is just sort of demonstrates. I don't know whether it was the influence on marijuana at the time, which I know was the is around that time they were really into marijuana. But you know, on the I Feel Fine, George is singing into a punch bag. You know, right. And Ringo's on an exercise bike. You know, and you just think, what are you doing? You know, it's sort of years and years later. You know, Nirvana did, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit on Top of the Pops and kind of took the mick and didn't sing properly, and that was like a major deal. And you know, and even Oasis, you know, they sort of played on Top of the Pops and they sort of switched. You know, so Noel Gallagher was singing and Liam was playing guitar, and it was just an in joke. You know, that if you knew which one was which, then you'd know it was a joke. But the Beatles were doing this then. You know, they just could not be bothered, and they're all, you know, there's the I Feel Fine where they're just sitting around eating fish and chips. It's fantastic. That they're just you know, they just obviously they were like, right, what have we got to do? We got to do these. All right, fine, let's just knock them out. And they're just not interested, and they're just messing about. And I love it. I love how just, you know, how just they were just like, yep, that'll do. We're not gonna try, we're not gonna do a put on a major performance. We're just they realize the ridiculousness of it, I think, is the thing.
Absolutely. And I think that goes to my point earlier about the Ron Howard film, right? They recognized that, you know, they knew that what they were doing out there and how badly they were doing on stage, this wasn't some mystery to them. And so for that reason, you know, they knew that the music was the thing that was what they're about. And I think that's evident in moments like that, too.
Going back to what I was saying about it being the end of an era, I tweeted that out the other day and I asked you guys for your highlights and yeah, and you responded. So I thought I'd just give you a few of these. So Alan Davidson, who is 123 Ali D, said, anyone said the Oasis podcast yet? Thank you very much. Flattery will get you everywhere, Alan. Paul Butler said, the highlight may not yet have happened. Oasis, Oasis. And I said, not likely. And he said, yeah, grasping at straws. Richard Bowes said, dead in the water, full stop. And Amy F-Spot said, yeah, that's a good one. For me, it's seeing Noel on two continents, a total of five times this year, one at the Manchester Arena, which was just special because of where it was. Britpop Memories said, simple, Liam at Finsbury Park playing You Want to Be a Spaceman. A moment for the real Oasis fans, not those that like to sing along to Wonderwall at wedding receptions. Neil Sharp said, Noel and Weller at Bristol Downs, especially NG's attempt at a Bristolian accent. Get off my land. That's that one. The brilliant Louise from Stop Crying Your Heart Out said, two very good albums first and foremost. Concert-wise, seeing both Liam and Noel on holiday in Milan with my two kids singing along to the new stuff. Andy Riley said, grown adults going absolutely mental about a lady playing scissors. It marked out a lot of people as being hashtag for the watching. Irene Supersonic, for me, it has to be the moment when I heard Whatever played live for the first time at Finsbury Park. That song got me into Oasis in the first place, and hearing it at the gig was like a religious experience for me. Greedy Soul, who is at Supernova Dragon, said, the entire gig at the cricket ground, from Twisted Wheel coming on till the moment Liam finished his set, it was absolutely amazing. I can honestly say, hands down, the best gig I've ever been to and best atmosphere. Highlights include Ashcroft set and Champagne Supernova. Dougstar00, our friend Dave Dugan, said, hearing Liam play Listen Up and Whatever in Malahide, practically my garden, was biblical. Terry Appleby says, Liam at Newcastle last November singing Universal Gleam and being surprised. I really like Noel's album after I heard it. Luke Herding, Liam comeback gig at Barrowlands, his acoustic set at Sleep in the Park, and Noel's gig at the Castle. So many great moments. My Big Mouth, who is at My Big Name, for those who were lucky enough to be at Finsbury Park, Manchester, do you know what? Do you want to be a spaceman? Was a pretty special moment. But for me, it's Wall of Glass. What a tune to come back with. Right from the get-go with that harmonica, the euphoric chorus. It's having it, man. Still sounds new now. Lise, who's at Mod Mem 3. Not a gig, but the release date of Liam's album. Felt like a kid waiting up until midnight. I'm old, that's late. Excited for first listen. Brianna Westervelt, seeing both Noel and Liam live for the first time. Liam O'Hare, Liam at the Barras, SSE Hydro and Old Trafford Cricket Ground. Danielle, who is at Danielle Lou 1509. The Lancashire County Cricket Ground gig, the whole lot was brilliant. It was just amazing for me seeing Richard Ashcroft and Liam and Bono joining him on the stage. Joe Brown, who is at I Am Joe Brown, said Finsbury Park, biblical. Dan Best said, I was at the Liam gig at Brixton Electric, top Finsbury Park. Trevor Duncanson, seeing Noel play the Chicago Theatre and seeing Liam the night before the infamous Lollapalooza 2017 gig. Ben at 20 and 2 said, Ricey and Lewis leaving four songs into Noel at Bristol. I don't quite understand that. This must be some sort of in-joke. Don't quite understand that. That Ricey sounds like a dodgy character, so yeah, interesting. Rinat Gaiman, who is at RinatGaiman27, seeing LG for the first time in Lollapalooza. Was awesome to see how the usual Lolla crowd reveals so many Oasis fans during Liam's gig. Epic. Robbie Black says, I feel the highlight was Liam's album, As You Were. It's so incredibly wonderful style and just what was needed after his time away. Plus, it was a privilege to see the guy live. Stephen Hilton, who is at Big Steve Lovin' Life. Champagne Supernova at the Emirates Old Trafford. Kay Frey, who is at Kay Freilich, being at DC gig. The set was only 1 hour with no support band. Great vocals and killer power hour. Also Malahide, two Americans at a crazy outdoor LG gig. John the Legend, who is at Jonathan Grindrow. Or Grindrow, Liam's album exceeding mass expectation was amazing. His Lancashire Cricket Club ground gig was a personal highlight. Found Noel's album underwhelming and have found his live performance pretty dull of late. Dead in the Water is a masterpiece though. Liam's son, who is at Listen Up X, said Liam bringing back Listen Up, particularly in Belfast. Danny Kitchen, who is D Kitchen, Liam at the Barrowlands and Old Trafford Cricket Ground. Mark, MIH72_Mark, LG at Finsbury and Cricket Ground. But to be honest, I think my biggest highlight was DMA's music at Leamington. They were awesome. A lot of love for DMA's going on online at the moment. And they're all right. I don't quite get it and maybe need to give a bit more of a listen. Mike Barron, who is at Lennon Lorenzo 08, London Brixton Electric, and Liam singing Don't Look Back in Anger at Glastonbury. Yes, absolutely. Webby CFC 79, who's Webby CFC, seeing Liam being appreciated again like he should be. Nathaniel at Priesty 02, December gig at the MEN and the LCCC gig top nights. Mod at Modfather 7 said, was it them both? MEN for my 40th. Nath PNE said, loved both albums. Highlights for me were seeing Liam in Leeds and at the cricket ground. The set list was amazing. Seeing Noel in Manchester, and he was brilliant as always. Favourite song was Noel, If Love Is the Law, Liam, Greedy Soul. Charlotte O'Flynn says, Liam all the way. He's made one hell of a comeback. The gigs I've been to in the last year have been amazing. Good memories up there with the good old days of Oasis gigs for me. Sian, who's at Football Sian, seeing Liam live for the first time. Added bonus that it was the first time he sang Whatever, Listen Up and Bring It On Down as a solo singer. MCFC Shirt says, Noel's Manchester Ritz gig was pretty special. Small venue in our hometown. Very lucky to be there. Fraser, who is at Fraser MCFC. Bonehead coming out of Park Life, then going straight into Sigs and Alk was mega. Brendan Lee Ashlock, Ashlock 14, says, Noel in LA was magical. Liam's gig in Philadelphia was okay. I was expecting more from our kid, to be honest. Paul Welford, 91, who is at P. Welford, 91. Old Trafford Cricket Ground for me. Magical night. Ashcroft and LG smashed it. Lynn Bryce, LDB London, says Liam will be back next year. LG, Finsbury Park, hot, 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 like fire emoji thing. Natalie Sert, who is at Nate Sert, just the fact that he came back with this great album, his voice getting better at each gig, hearing again so many epic Oasis songs. I think of Bring It On Down, for example. Yeah, he is with us again. That's the best thing. And some of his interviews. Kev Fisher at KevFish37. Seen Liam twice, Leeds and Old Trafford Cricket Ground. And Noel at the MEN. Noel is a better vocal, in my opinion, and is far more talented. But a Liam gig is an absolute scream, so Liam wins for me. Kaz, who is at CM Special K, Downer was being the best girlfriend in the world ever and giving the ticket I managed to get for Brixton to my boyfriend. Best moment seeing Paper Crown, which I seriously love. First time live at Brighton. Whole of Finsbury Park was epic, as was Isle of Wight. Sally at Manic Rose 1984, spending 2 days following Liam around the country. Birmingham, followed by Cardiff the next night. Oasis 1_1, Liam smashed it with Top Album and his gigs were great. Noel needs to write his own albums from now on. Okay. Or maybe producing it with David Holmes, maybe. Nick Hutchins at The Hutch 83, looking forward to Amsterdam in November. Oh, wait. Weren't they the ones that Liam cancelled? Yes, possibly. Matt Ritson, who is at mritson89, the right stuff at Manchester Arena, that was biblical. The woman singing made me love that track. Used to skip it before I heard it live. Neil Holden, who is at neilholden7, Liam's Manchester gig for me. Rewind, fast forward, RWFF Music UK says Noel set at Bristol Downs Festival. Harris, who's at Craven43H2, says Liam at Finsbury was amazing. Jubster at Taurus2868 says Ali Pali December last year, top night. Aaron Rogers at Bottle_Bohemia, Noel playing in Berlin on my birthday, and Liam's gig at Columbia Halle was like being a gig back in the UK. Sarah Armour at Says Pet, saw Liam in December and again in August at Emirates gig. Saw Noel in May at Manchester Arena. I love them both and refuse to get sucked into dramas, which is very sensible. It's something I try to do and regularly fail. JW at Chilster 114 says Swans beating Sheffield United and Millwall away. That would be a football reference. Swans being short for Swansea City. That's not talking about something happening with large white birds. The less said about large white birds, the better, actually. And last but not least, at Notorious PP says, seeing Liam at the cricket ground was no different to an Oasis gig back in the day. Absolute riot of a day. Oh, well done. So we got through those. So thank you, everyone, for all that. And it's been great. What a fantastic run it's been. Proper end of an era. And here's to a fantastic 2018. What a wonderful run it's been. Such a short way up and such a long way down. Reggae. And you see that bubble like where they are. Good voice, man. The way you're something off it off your way by pound. In a piece of marijuana, that is my playground. I just like it. I like his tones, man. He's good. And he obviously smokes weed and that. So that was good. And who is it?
Damien Marley.
Oh, right, yeah, man. I've been carrying his weed around in London for a bit. Because we've got the same driver and that in London. But if we get fucking pulled over by the dibble, I get caught with all the ganja. So that's, and the car smells nice though. So that's good. I love you, Mary
Jane. Right, let's have some new music. So this is a bunch of guys that got in touch called Shinobi. Now I'm going to let them introduce the track and then we'll hear a bit of The World Is Mine.
Hey, this is Johnny.
And this is Abigail.
We're Shinobi. And you're about to hear our track, The World Is Mine, here on the Oasis Podcast.
Yeah.
So that was Shinobi. Thank you very much, guys, for that. Really like that track, The World Is Mine. If you go and find them on Spotify, there's quite a few bands called Shinobi, but if you scroll down the list, you can see the four that look like indie kids and click on that. There's the World Is Mine EP that's definitely worth checking out. So thank you, guys. And if you are in an unsigned band and you want to be played, then what I always really prefer is if you can send me a little audio message like those guys have done, just saying who you are, what you're about, where you're based, and ideally why Oasis were an inspiration to you, because ultimately that's what we're about over here. And I really like that, because then we can get a feel for who you are and stuff, and then I'm more than happy to play a bit of a track if it's kind of in our wheelhouse and it sounds good. Right, let us now go on to this interview with Liam Dennehy. So Liam, as we said, he was around in the early days. He's local to the Gallaghers and knows a lot of the people in the story, and was very much involved at a crucial time in that weird period, post the rain, pre Noel coming in. So without any further ado, after this brief musical interlude, it's me and Liam, but not that Liam. Hi Liam, how you doing?
Not too bad, thanks very much.
That's good. When someone with a Manchester accent phones up and says, "Hi, it's Liam," I get a bit excited. But I am excited to speak to you, but there's a slightly more famous Liam up there.
It's Liam. How you doing, mate?
All right. All right, our kid.
All right.
How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, not bad.
I've hit record. Are you all right to record, or would you rather just have a quick chat first?
Driving at the minute.
Oh, are you?
Sure,
okay.
My daughter's going to ring me and send me way home. I just wondered what you wanted first.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Basically, So in at the podcast, I cover kind of all sort of stories about, Oasis from back in the day. So I've interviewed, various people, the bands that they played with, or the real people who first recorded with them, and things like that. So I've done loads of interviews with people who were part of their history, and it's just sort of it's just a case of having a quick chat, sort of going through your story. I mean, I found like a couple of articles from a few years ago, I think, when you sort of were thinking about putting the tape up for sale and that sort of thing. So I found that. A quick Google was found that. So it was just going to be a case of, where did you grow up? How did you end up, managing that that venue? Who first contacted you? What contact you had with them? And then, I was reading about it in Paolo Hewitt's book. It says they got kicked out for smoking spliffs in there or something. So that was that, really.
Yeah. It was a Terry Christian book,
who I get mentioned in. Oh, is it? Okay. I don't think you don't get mentioned by name in Paolo's book, but he says, Bono, he says... Yeah, well, it doesn't mention you by name, but it says Paul Gallagher arranged for them to have rehearsal space at the Grove. And so it does. And then it says a couple of weeks, and then they were kicked out for smoking spliff. So that doesn't mention you by name, but yeah, it mentions that time.
Well, Paul Gallagher, he wrote a book with Terry Christian.
But yeah, no, I know that.
To Oasis.
Yeah.
And he used to call him Bod, he used to come in. Our kids in a band, and he was a bit he had a bigger mouth than Noel and Liam put together.
Right. Okay.
And every time he walked, he was a sound lad, but every time he walked, his big was going, here he comes, here's Bod. And then he asked me, he said, our kids in a band, he said, can they use the space at the back? Which no one's using it. So I said, yeah. So it used to come in on a Tuesday night. I said, can I have it Tuesday night? They give us 20 quid because we were a big cabaret club, made a stage and all the rest of it set up, all the sound gear, So they just used to plug in and play. And I just used to sit at the back, turning the sound on for them and turning it up or down or whatever. And they were, to be honest, they were pure shite.
And this is pre-Noel, yeah?
Yeah, Noel wasn't there, it was Liam. Noel came in a couple of times just to call in for something. He was with, what they call it, Spyro Carpet.
Yeah.
Someone says, oh, that lad there, that's Bob's brother. So Bob is Paul,
yeah.
We know him.
Yeah, yeah.
That he does the guitars for Spyro Carpet and someone tunes them up.
Yeah.
So no. We thought he was a bigger hero than, well, obviously Liam hadn't done anything by then. But they came in, they used to have a couple of bottles of Beck's, and whether they were smoking or not, I don't know. but it was Bod who arranged it.
Yeah.
But now Bod's on tour with Liam. Everywhere he goes, he takes photographs. He's on Instagram.
Yeah, no,
Liam's,
I know.
He's a personal photographer.
Yeah, it is. It's not a bad little gig. And it feels like, because he's also done stuff with Noel over the years as well. So he seems to have done this last sort of year and a half. He seems to have done a lot more with Liam. So whether or not, I think he still mates with them both, but he tends to have.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah.
Oh, good.
But have a look if you can find out. Well, I'll agree to that. See, I get a mention in Terry Christian. Do you know who Terry Christian is?
Yeah, of course. He used to do The Word. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
well,
no.
I get mentioned over a couple of pages, actually, my name.
That's good.
Page 116 to 118.
And what about what about the tape then? So how come you got the tape?
Well, I said to Bobby, so you have to tell your Liam. Costello's the guy that owned the place. He's an Irish guy. We used to have Irish cabaret bands on. And they used to sing about carrots and potatoes. Shit like that. So yeah, Gallagher's were in. I'm not saying he didn't like Paul Gallagher, Bod, but he was a bit of a. Why have you let him in there? Like, and his fucking brothers. So they were a bit like that. Why have you let them fuckers in there? And do you know what I said to him? I said, and we used to do like little bits and pieces, and I used to. A club before that, I used to put bands on, you see.
Yeah.
Small bands, no one that you'd ever know.
Right.
I said, we could put them on a Sunday night. So, because the local lads, one Sunday, I said, them charge a couple of quid, three or four quid, might get 100 people. Nah, fucking get rid of him, he said. The pot collector told me they were smoking draw. Oh, no. And the pot collector was like an Irish, bit of a lunatic.
Okay.
He didn't have all his facilities, but he'd work like fuck. Yeah. And poor it, and he's. Said Paul, it told him they were smoking, so he said, so get rid of him. I said, whatever. So I said to Bod, so Costello said, tell your Liam, and the lad, tell him the Carol was there.
Yeah.
What's it called? Gwigsy. Bonehead.
Yeah.
Bonehead, I knew Bonehead, that's well. But they were all Irish. I'm Irish descent.
Yeah.
And the lads were Irish descent. Tony McCarroll, they're all from Leavenworth, which is a big Irish community. It's like about Manchester and Longside. So, anyway, a while after that, Bod came back. He says, yeah, Liam, to me. He says, ah, Liam, so give you that. He said, it was with a demo tape. He said, thanks for letting them practice. They found somewhere else. I went, oh, nice one. You know, I went, well, cheers for that, like. Like you're ever gonna get, why are you gonna get a deal? Can't even fucking sing.
So did you? So
I went, cheers, Bod. Sort of like half taking the piss, to be honest. And then he says, "Oh, we're getting some badges, mate." I went, "Oh, get us a badge, don't get me a badge." So I'm only having a laugh because a bit of banter, like
they, yeah, cool.
Like Liam, everyone takes the piss out of each other.
Yeah.
No animosity in it, or it's just a bit of crack, as we'd say in the Irish community.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Which
sure.
Liam does a lot of now, but he's very clever, Liam. He does it. So I says, oh, get us a badge. He says, they're going to be the biggest band in the world. I went, ah, yeah, of course, yeah. Next thing, the rule in the world. I'm like, ah, what the fuck?
But was there the feel, did you know at the time, like, because so you mentioned Noel had popped in. was like, so this would, but Noel never got involved in the playing. This was still in the point where Noel was checking him out, I think, and then planning, making his machinations in the background.
No, Noel only popped in probably once or twice, just not to see them. They weren't even there. It was just he passed into the club for some reason. I don't know what it was. He might have come in for a pint once.
Okay.
Or picked something up from Boz, but he, no. And when they gave me the tape, it had Oasis on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so
they were called The Rain or something, weren't they?
Yeah, they were called The Rain when Chris Hutton was involved, but then I think by the time Liam came in, he changed the name to Oasis. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Fair play. So what did you think? So you said that you didn't rate the demo tape very much, and I think it's when you listen to it, Liam's voice hasn't really, he hasn't found his voice yet. He's still almost doing a bit of a Ian Brown impersonation, I think it sounds like to me. When I'm young and true, was it me or was it you? Take me when I'm not so strong. Why is it taking you so long? Take me when you feel I've gone. I always knew I could be someone. Take me if you think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, and he still struts along like Ian Brown and plays his tambourine. Trying to look dead hard.
And were they?
Ahead of him, he wouldn't fucking put them in a box of rings together. They wouldn't know which way to turn. As hard as they are. They're not hard at all. Just, you know what it is? I think Liam spoke his fingers at once, and the press loved it, and his management said, keep sticking them up, mate.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. It was so different, you know, for us, as I say, you know, you're used to a lot of these bands that were, you know, art school kids, whereas then you get kids, you know, that were, you know, Manchester Irish from a council estate who came across as being hard and sort of aggressive and sort of sarcastic and piss taking. But, you know, so you don't think they were quite as hard as, well, do you think that's true? Or is it more image, or what do you think? Yeah.
And he wanted to be in a band, and he went, yeah, I'm going to. But it's like anyone else now starting out, there's hundreds of bands around Manchester. But none of them, like Premiership footballers.
Yeah.
You've got to have a total bit of luck, and you've got to be a bit in front of yourself.
Mm.
So, like their older brother, Bod, he was a right gobby bastard. So it run through the family, and the dad was a DJ, and he was a bit of a dick.
Did you know the dad?
I knew of him coming in and out. But he was known on the Irish scene for doing bits of DJing. And that's where Bod was a DJ, wanted to be a DJ. About. Everyone was interested in music. And he said, our kid in a band. So I thought, he's having a go. But no, you can't sing A and B. You're from alongside, so you've got no chance, mate. And then Alan McGee let him, I think we stormed the way up to somewhere in Scotland.
That's right, yeah.
And Alan McGee spotted him, and it's just total luck.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And then Noel turns out to be a great songwriter.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was just bang, here we go, look at these lads, and there was nothing like it about.
Yeah.
Everyone was waiting for it. And they're waiting for it again now, I think.
Oh, mate, it's been 10, 15 years. When's the last decent band? Arctic Monkeys? It's been ages.
Yeah, Arctic Monkeys, but the thing is, they're out playing again.
Yeah.
Oasis, well, Liam and Noel are playing. I've got two kids now. One's 14, McCurl, and one's 18, and they are totally obsessed with Liam Gallagher.
Really? That's great.
Obsessed? Took my daughter to see Liam at Lancashire Cricket Club a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And my son went, but he went down to the front. I could go into the house now, and my son would be on his guitar playing either Stone Roses or Liam Gallagher or Noel Gallagher stuff or Oasis.
Really? That's...
And all his friends at the same age, and the young kids, they're all obsessed with him. And do you know why it is? Because there's no one at all now that plays it like Liam or Noel with the attitude. They're all X Factor. wannabes singing a song, someone else dresses them up, and 10 minutes later they've forgotten about.
Yeah.
So the kids need someone to look at. I'm not saying he's an inspiration, Liam Arnold, but they've got attitude, and the kids, there's no one with attitude out there.
No, absolutely.
And I can't see anyone coming through, because I'm big into my music. There's a band up here called Callow Youth. Set your files alone. Every city that you call home, I don't even think you know. Yeah, she's out on the town again. Will this ever end?
Yeah.
And yeah. And the one before Ian Brown was Mick Jagger, probably. I don't know. Or
yeah.
But yeah. Everyone, there's no one else can come back to it.
No. Well, it's different now as well, because I think because it's so protracted with the internet now, whereas before you could be played on the radio, played on Top of the Pops, and suddenly you're big to the country. Whereas now it's so fractured with the internet. I don't think it's going to happen again. You know, that Supersonic documentary, Noel sort of made the point of, look, you know, when they did Nebworth, it was like, that's not going to happen again. You know, there's no one, how are you going to do that? Yeah.
It'll never happen. It's like football. United used to win everything with local lads.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 90%, and they won the treble and all that. Now, every Premiership team, they've just got people who want to play them for the money.
Yeah.
So there's no passion. And that'll never happen again. At Manchester United will never happen because of the society, because of the internet, because of the way things are and the way people are jumping from here to there. But I swear to God, if Oasis reformed, and they will, I fucking definitely think they will.
Yeah.
I think both of them, Liam and Noel, are playing a massive game.
You think?
And I've heard stories around Manchester from sources and a bit of
Yeah.
They've fucking smashed the world again.
Yeah.
There is no one else. So
absolutely.
They're playing it right, and they've raised the profiles, and they're clever lads, and they're, do you know what they are? They're lads off the street.
Yeah.
Like me. My kids think I'm a bit of a scally, but I'm not. I'm a decent lad. I'm a dad. But we were brought up on the streets, and we fucking had to run round.
Yeah.
We didn't cause any trouble. We all love music, and that's all we ever wanted to do was music. Everyone I know that either DJs or they have been in bands or they still want to be in bands, but
yeah.
There was never any aggro, but you could get yourself in and out of places. Like a couple of mates of mine called Gio Goy. They're the fashion brand.
Okay.
And they're from a similar background, and they made millions out of the fashion with Ian Brown and the Stone Roses were first kicking off.
Right, right.
If you ever look for Gio Goy.
Yeah, no, I know his name, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
Anthony
yeah.
And Chris. Well, Anthony and Chris, we were all brought up at the same time, and you have to have a bit about you on the street, but we never got in trouble. And my kids are nice, decent kids. They don't go out. They don't know how come. Everywhere I go, I know somebody. Well, like my lad went to see Art and the Monkeys the other night. Dad, I'm at the arena in Manchester. With them tickets out, that you know. So I told him one was Mickey Keane and the other one I would call Dirty Neck. So anyway, he got himself two Arctic Monkeys tickets and he was over the moon, and it's just a different way, but they've got no one to look up to, the kids at the minute.
I know. That's the that was the crazy thing being at I was at Finsbury Park this summer for Liam and even I saw Noel as well just before, and it is as a crazy age range, you know, of from, you know, geezers in their 50s, 40s, 30s, yeah, all the way down to kids, you know, and the kids. But you're absolutely right. It's that I think people didn't know which way it was going to go when Liam came back. You know, Noel, you pretty much know what you're going to get. But Liam coming back, no one knew. Is this going to be BDI part two? And no one, you know, he sinks without trace. But, you know, he ended up working with a great few songwriters, helping him put these songs together. And he's done an amazing job going out and marketing himself. And he's back on top of the world. It's amazing. Yeah.
That BDI, don't know if anyone knows what BDI is about.
Yeah.
And he tried, but this album that he brought out, it just, you know, it came out of nowhere. And yeah, I'm sure he's really surprised with it all as well.
Yeah.
Underneath it all, and he's thinking, yeah. And he's done it right, He's gone out, worked hard, and got himself in the media every single opportunity.
Absolutely.
And the kids love it, because it's just pure Oasis music once again.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what he's done, isn't he? He's just done the, you know, he's not tried to be clever. He's just done really good 3-4 minute songs, good choruses, and just there you go. But no, it's
On. And he does it well. He gets on. He doesn't say fucking sing after me and clap your hands.
I know.
And he goes off, and everyone goes, "Oh, is that it?" He said, "Yeah, that's it." But he's got a great way. He's got a great way of doing it.
Yeah.
And he keeps him wanting more, doesn't he?
Yeah, we had that. A lot of people complained, especially his first tour, he was doing an hour, no encore, just straight on, boom, an hour, get off. You know, as most bands, especially at that level, they'll, you know, like Noel does, he'll introduce the band, and on guitar we've got Gem, and on, you know, bass we've got this.
No,
Whereas Liam's, no, none of that. Get on,
no, do the music, get off. I'm going, I've had enough. You've heard what you want to hear, and that's it, ain't. And I'm not buying into all your bullshit, fucking encores and all the rest of it.
Yeah, well, it's fake as well. When you've been to gigs, you know they're coming back. What is the point of it? You know, it's pointless. But yeah, I love that.
No point whatsoever. You'd rather it. I mean, when I took my daughter to Lancashire Cricket Club, and she was playing Lancashire Cricket Club, I knew what it was going to be like. I knew what all the scallies from fucking the whole of the northwest and around Britain would be there, and they're all Liam Gallagher lookalikes, and they were all out from 11 o'clock in the morning getting pissed. And I brought my 14-year-old girl, and she's a nice girl, but I know everyone, so I knew she'd be safe with me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got in, and I got a part of the ground where they weren't all falling over each other. And she said to me at one stage of the evening, she said, "Dad," she says, "on the left-hand side of us now, there's three guys rolling a spliff and smoking draw." I went, "All right, okay." She says, "And if you look to the right-hand side of us, there's two guys snorting cocaine off a pound coin." She said, "You do take me to the best places, don't you, Dad?" She said, "You're enjoying it?" She said, "Dad, I'm loving it. Thanks for taking me."
Fantastic. And there's a bunch of blokes injecting heroin in the corner. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, probably.
No, that's great.
But good luck to him. I'd love to meet him just to say, "Well done, lads, and, you know, you did it." And at the time, there was no harm in me saying, "Oh, yeah, of course you'll make it." Because no chance of them making it ever.
Yeah.
They got a massive break. And you know what? There's no one prouder in the world than myself.
Fantastic.
And everyone from Manchester. Absolutely isn't.
Mm. And is it nice for you? And you're part of the story. You can say that forever. You can tell that story when people talk about Oasis.
The kids were born in Stockport, which is just a postcode away out of Manchester, the first one. And both the kids, well, my son especially, he said, "Dad, you know my biggest regret?" What's that? Says that I was born in Stockport. I can't actually say that I'm Mancunian.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fair play, mate. And what about the demo? So the demo, so you did put it up for sale. What, I take it you didn't get any bites. So and when you sent a picture, didn't you? You got it in a nice case or it's all nicely packaged up.
Are you recording this bit?
Yep.
Right, listen to this then. This will fucking make you scream. Bob gave me the tape, yeah?
Yeah.
The demo tape. It had three songs on it. Alice, Take Me and Reminisce.
Yeah.
Pure shit. Just a bit of a tape with a white label on it saying Oasis and handwritten.
Yeah.
So I went, oh, nice one. Anyway, after a bit, I thought, after a few years and they were getting bigger, I went, oh, that's cool. And I think someone from Manchester had been given another tape, the same, I think they must have got half a dozen or something. And he told all his mates, they all went out getting pissed, and he brought them back home. Put the tape on his fucking hi-fi system or something, you know, the old...
Yeah, the old tape deck, yeah.
So there, so they're all pissed that night. He's going home, showing off, he's got this Oasis tape. Pissed up, presses his play or whatever he did, and it all mangled in the fucking tape machine. So it made the front pages of, I think, the Sun or something else. So I said, I went, oh, hang on, I've got one of them. Anyway, the next day, or the day after, I rang the newspapers telling them all this, blah, 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 blah. So, anyway, they said it was all news. So, what did they do with it? I went out one night, yeah? On Friday night, I always remember it. I got pissed without having a bit of fun. I was sat in my garden having a cup of coffee the next morning with a really bad head. And my mate, who's got a memorabilia business, rang me.
Yeah.
He said, Leila, Jacko's there. Because he framed it for me.
Okay.
Originally. So yeah. He put it in a frame and I had it. So he says, Jacko's there. He said, he wants to buy that Oasis tape off you. Oh, fuck off. I've got a bad head, leave me alone. So I went, right, $2,000. And he went, Jacko, you want $2,000? I went, Jacko's in the background shouting, tell him I'm giving him $1,000. And do you know what I did?
Go on.
To be totally honest with you, I went, oh. He said, I'll give you $1,000 on Monday morning cash. And just to get him off the phone, I went, oh, fuck off. Just tell him he can have it. Anyway, put the phone down, and I thought, what the fuck have I done that for? And I was gutted, but like, I'm a man of my word, I'm a bit of a soft ass. Anyway, I sold it him on the Monday, and I fucking regretted giving it him on the Monday, never mind now.
Yeah.
But I now work in a memorabilia shop, yeah?
Okay.
Well, we do framing, we do lots of sports, we do music memorabilia. The lad that rang me that morning, Dave, he owns a shop, so I work for him, yeah?
Yeah.
Framing stuff. Well, I've got an old Gallagher guitar in there, fine guitar. We do a lot of work for other Man City. And we do all sorts of stuff in framing, normal stuff. Jacko, the lad who bought the...
Tape off
the
you.
Tape off me for $1,000 cash. He's in there. He's in there working, doing all the finance and all the social media, and the tape is fucking sat behind the door, and I've asked Jacko loads of times, Jacko, sell me that tape back, it's part of history. And he goes, no. I said, you fucker. The lad wants it, it's been me lad, I don't want to make money out of it. He went, no, it's worth a few quid. I went, it's worth fuck all. He says, why do you want to buy it? I said, to give it me lad, because it's part of my history. I said, and he wants it, and he's mad about it. Nah, not fucking selling it. I said, you bastard. So one day I might get it back, but it's looking at me every day, winking at me, going, ah, fucking serves you right for selling it.
So if you leave,
so, you know what? I suppose that in if you wanted anything out of what do you call it when things come back at you?
Karma.
Karma. Me saying to fucking Bob. Yo, oh, yeah, get us a bad joke, yeah, they're going to be the biggest band in the world. And they turned out, and they were, and now they fucking take 30 years later, he's winking at me saying, ah, you're not having me, you twat. So, good job, I've got a fucking sense of humour, to be honest.
Well, otherwise, at least you're not too far from it, and if you ever wanted to do a runner, you could always nick it on the way out, I suppose, couldn't you?
Yeah, I could unscrew it and just stick a fake one in.
You could, that's a good idea. Yeah, yeah.
No, but yeah, no, it's good luck to the lads.
Fair
play. Hopefully they'll get back again, just for everyone else. I've seen them.
Yeah.
But it's been massive. It's been the biggest thing in fucking the world, and I hope they do it. So and they will do it, because those lads, those Irish lads with an Irish background, the mother will fucking kick their ass if they don't.
Wonderful. Liam, well, thank you so much for your time, mate. I do really appreciate that. All right, nice one, Liam. Thanks, buddy. Much appreciated, mate. Cheers, Liam. Bye.
She always comes up smiling. I'm playing with her hand. She sometimes says I'm lying. She thinks that I don't care.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that, and thank you very much to Liam Dennehy for taking the time to speak to me while he was in the car. A little tip for podcasters, always be recording, because quite a few times I've sort of spoken to someone and then you kind of speak to them to talk about what you're going to talk about, and you end up just having the whole conversation thinking, oh damn, I didn't record it, we have to just do that again. So always be recording if you can, and you can just like record straight away, then that's just, you know, that's often the best way to do it. Yeah, and you can follow Liam at Natam Sayin on Twitter, which is NATTAM_SAYIN. And yeah, that band that he really likes that we played a little bit of there was Callow Youth, who are at Callow_Youth on Twitter. So let's finish off this episode with the next in our Oasis A to Z, and this one is Bag It Up. So, Bag It Up is written by Noel Gallagher. It features on Dig Out Your Soul, which was the last Oasis album, and it was track one. So it kicks off the album, and then following Bag It Up, it then goes into The Turning. So, and the title Bag It Up is also a title of a song by Jerry Halliwell, which I'm not going to put a clip in here because I've... don't want to. But yeah, there's a little note online to say that after titling it Bag It Up, Noel didn't know that there was a song called that. And he said in an interview with Mojo magazine in 2008, when I came home with the finished thing, I stuck it on and the missus goes, "Bag It Up, isn't that a song by Jerry Halliwell?" I'm straight on the internet, and sure enough, I was like, yeah, you've ruined my entire year. So yeah, well done, Noel. So we've got Liam Gallagher on lead vocals. He's also credited on the album as tambourine, acoustic guitar and tin whistle. I doubt he's playing any of those on Bag It Up. Noel Gallagher, guitars, backing vocals. Gem Archer, guitars, keyboards, bass guitar. Andy Bell, bass guitar, guitar, tambura, keyboards. With Zach Starkey, drums, percussion, hand claps. And Dave Sardi, production, mixing. Ryan Castle, engineering. And another various other engineering sort of people. But before we get into the what I thought of the song, let's hear from a couple of our listeners. So first off, it's a regular contributor, the brilliant Paul Costello.
Hello, James. It's Paul. Hopefully all is well. It took me a long time to get this message to you, so hopefully it's not too late. But when I heard you were doing Bag It Up on the next A to Z, I said, right, time to drop a message to you. This is definitely one of my favourite Oasis tunes. It's an absolute 5 out of 5 one for me. And I particularly happen to really like Dig Out Your Soul as an album. I just think all the songs flow really well into one another. And of all the Oasis albums I listen to, that one would probably be the one I'd still listen to most of all. And I know you're not too keen on some of it, but I just think it was a real interesting album. Lots of interesting songs, interesting soundscapes, and great harmonies between Liam and Noel on several of the songs. And I would have loved to have known where they would have went further if there would have been another album. But that said, literally the very first day I bought that CD and put it on, and just the way it banged straight in with those, that guitar and those drums, I was like, yes, here we go. Then Liam's vocal comes in and he sounds really well. And vocals, particularly on this song between Liam and Noel, you know, there's some great harmonies between them. And I think that initial vocal, Liam's singing the lower octave, and I think Noel is underneath singing like a higher octave, but I'm not 100% certain if it's Noel, but I think it is.
Gold and silver and sunshine is rising up, pour yourself another cup of Lady Grey.
But their voices harmonise really well, especially in the parts where they have loads of reverb and they're doing the sort of descending down bits. So I've got the guitar here, so I said I'd go through the chords. Now this is the way I play it. I don't know exactly if it's 100% right, but I, this is the way I do it. So it's mainly in D, and it starts basically with a strum D chord, and you're sort of alternating between a C note and a D note underneath, so like that. And then it goes from F to G, so this is kind of how I would do it. Verse, and then that the ends of the verse with those chromatically descending chords, I love them. They go from F to E to E flat and back to D. Then you have your pre-chorus, which it goes from B flat to A to D to F to B flat. Around. Then it goes to G, up to A, and the interesting then, it flows really well into the chorus because it holds the A chord into the chorus, which is kind of an interesting thing to hold the same chord from one section of a song into another. And the chorus then is just A, C, and D around. So that goes around a few times. And then you have the chromatically descending chords, which go from B flat all the way down to E. So it goes. Twice during the song. Other instrument wise, there's lots of different percussion stuff happening. I mean, the drums, like there's the main drums, and I think then there's like a snare part overdubbed on top of the main drums throughout the song. You can kind of hear it on the verses, and particularly in the breakdown section in the middle with all the weird sounds. The end of the song, there's a string part that comes in, which I really like because it kind of goes between a minor to a major, and under the droning sort of D chord at the end, it sounds really well. It's this on its own kind of goes. Weird by itself, but within the music it goes really well.
Mm-hmm.
strings themselves remind me of the reprise of All Around the World on the last track of Be Here Now. Not necessarily the notes that they play, but just the sound of them remind me of those when I hear them. And then right at the end of the song, on the isolated tracks, which I found on YouTube, which are handy to have, you can hear somebody like footsteps and somebody saying something right after the explosion bit. I can't really work out what they're saying. So, bag it up all in all, great vocals, really cool drums. I'm not too fond of the actual sound of the drums, but if I was to say one thing about the song I didn't like, it would be that. But the rest, the chords are great, the lyrics are just random nonsense as far as I can tell, but they sound really well. All in all, a 5 out of 5 for me, a great album opener, and it flows really well into the turning. When you put that album on, for me anyway, all the songs flow really well together. So, absolute top track for me for Bag It Up. So that's everything covered, I think. So I'll sign off. Thanks as always. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk soon.
Brilliant work. Thank you, Paul. That is greatly appreciated. You can follow Paul on Twitter. He is at csmudgec86. And he has also formed a band called Primitive Machine, who are at Prim Machine. So, yeah, check them out. And some great points made there by Paul. And one thing I'll just pick you up on, that I do really like Dig Out Your Soul as an album, especially the way it starts. Bag It Up, I love. The Turning, I love. Waiting for the Rapture, I think, is good. Shock of the Lightning, is great. I'm Out of Time is great. And then it sort of falls off a little bit. Get Off Your High Horse, Lady, I think, is pretty bad. Falling Down, I think, is brilliant. Dreamer's His Life, okay. Ain't Got Nothing, good. Nature of Reality, not so much. And Soldier On, not so much. So that first, from Bag It Up to Falling Down, the quality is very high, and just for me, Get Off Your High Horse, Lady, and Waiting for the Rapture kind of drops down a little bit. But generally, yeah, I really like Bag It Up, and I really like the overall sound of the album. I think it is a return to form from the previous two, which I prefer Dig Out Your Soul to both Heathen Chemistry and Don't Believe the Truth. I think there's some amazing moments on it, and I think Bag It Up is one of them. The other thing I just question is that you said there... random lyrics. I don't think they are random lyrics. I think this is it's a drug song. You know, it's pure and simple. Bag It Up, as in bag up the drugs. Yeah, so just digging into the lyrics a little bit. I think overall, I think it's a drug song. And I think that comes across in the sound and the feel of it. I think, like, he was talking about those, Paul was talking about those chromatic descends. And that, to me, it feels like we're descending into, you're coming into the album, you've got that stomping sound, you've got like the psychedelic swirls of the strings and the sort of keyboard noises, and there's organs, and there's, you know, these thudding drums throughout, and then you get these sort of chromatic drops, as you said, feel quite Pink Floyd-y, sort of Sid Barrett era Pink Floyd would do things like that, like Astronomy Domine does that. And if we have a look at the lyrics, so it's golden, silver and sunshine is rising up. Pour yourself another cup of Lady Grey. Take my hand in the meantime and you've had enough. You'll find me on the end of the runway, babe. Well, that to me just sounds like it's the morning and, you know, and he's going to have a cup of tea, which is always a good idea. Tell the world that you love them in a melody. Send my old piano in a telegram. Got to get me a doctor with a remedy. I'm going to take a walk with a monkey man. So, Monkey Man's a song by the Rolling Stones. I would say it's more likely to be in relation to either Liam or maybe Ian Brown. Someone tell me I'm dreaming. The freaks are rising up through the floor. Everything I believe in is telling me that I want more. So, apparently Noel was interviewed and has actually said this about him doing acid when he was like a teenager on golf courses. So if he's, you can imagine him sort of seeing things, seeing freaks rising up from the floor, as you know, acid's a hallucinogen. But it's also apparently, I haven't done acid, but you know, apparently it can also open your mind to other experiences and ideas, and so maybe everything I believe in is telling me that I want more. This is sort of opening him up to this new world, new way of thinking, maybe. Lay your love on the fire when you come on in. I got my heebie-jeebies hidden in a bag. So the heebie-jeebies is kind of anxiety. So is he saying he's wrapping up his heebie-jeebies and hiding them away? He's trying to hide away those anxious, scary feelings while he's having a bad trip. And tell me what you desire and we'll bag it up. That just feels like it's a drug deal. You know, he's sort of getting the drugs and sticking them in a bag. And then it's just the only other lyrics is that it says, shine a light on the choir if you come on in, rather than lay your love on the fire, which I don't necessarily means anything different. So, yeah, I think it's definitely just some things that rhyme nicely, like send my old piano in a telegram. And talking about a melody and a remedy, that's just classic, you know, Noel rhyming words. But definitely I think there's something going on. And I think that the music mirrors the lyrics in that the fact that it does feel like a bit of a crazy trip, especially as Paul pointed out at the end, then with those sort of strings and keyboards and things coming in at the end.
Dave came all the way to London, right, initially, to have this meeting with us, right, about this concept of this album that we were going to make.
The original conversation was, yeah, one guitar at a time.
It was a pretty inspiring meeting, I've got to say. You know, it was like, right, we're going to strip the sound back, right? And what we're going to do is, you know, there's going to be no fat on the album, there's going to be no notes are going to be wasted, just the bare minimum.
You know, we kind of, in spirit, we kept to that.
So we got on there, you know, and the first thing, it's like, let's put another guitar on it, way, bring the fucking tuba, you know. And the next thing, I remember sat at the mixing desk going, fucking brilliant idea, you're stripping this sound back, and he was going, oh, fuck off. I wrote those lyrics, I was fucking arsehole writing that. And you can tell it's just nonsense. But it's like, that's the way that I used to write when I used to write Supersonic and Some Might Say and all that.
So that chat about the lyrics there is from the documentary that was released around the time of Dig Out Your Soul. It sounds like Noel is sort of more agreeing with what Paul said in his analysis. I don't agree. I think there is more to it than just nonsense. Whether he meant it to or not, I think there's definitely a little bit more there. Also, that documentary talks about the process of recording the demo for it. So let's hear that.
When Dave heard this demo, it's very sparse, done it in Gem's loft. And we rushed it, because he was going, oh, I really like the way that it's really loose and it's dead sparse. And me and Gem looked at each other and we were like, well, the reason it's like that is Gem's kids were coming in from school at fucking 5:10 and we had to fuck off and just leave it without. There's only one guitar and he was going, oh, so it's not deliberate like that. No, if his kids weren't coming on, we'd still be there doing it now.
Noel come around the house, you know, he's kind of, we start at midday and he's got to be out by the time the kids get home. So it's great, no messing about.
In the demo on the back, you can hear somebody hoovering up.
And in terms of the recording as well, as Paul briefly touched on, there is loads going on in this record. And particularly at the end of the track, you have this explosion as well. And also in that documentary, Noel talks a little bit about that explosion. So I'll pass over to Noel for his views on it. Noel?
The bit on the end of Bag It Up, you know, the explosion, that's plastic explosives recorded from 100 metres, right? And this CD has them recorded from a distance going right up, so it's just like... I would use sound effects CDs on everything, seriously. He was playing back the mix and put the explosion in before Gem had heard it, and he was and he went, ooh, fucking hell, I'm not sure about that. That's an explosion, man. That's the start of the album. That's pyrotechnics. Well, I don't know about the fucking explosion. It's like, oh, right, yeah, but the gong's all right, isn't it?
So I definitely agree with all that. That's one of the things I do really like about Dig Out Your Soul is the fact that it is a bit different. They're trying mixing it up a bit. Like I've often said, there's comparisons with Standing on the Shoulder of Giants in that way. They're trying to do something a little bit different. And as he said, it does really kick off the album well.
It's quite an odd tune, that. It's not like anything I've ever written before, and the bass drops in and out, and it's very strange chords, and it's a bit Pink Floyd. And once that finishes, the rest of the album just really flows.
Our music has changed, without a doubt. We've changed, I think, but in the right way. There's a line, and we've not gone over it.
Whenever we do these A to Zs, I always like to hear your personal experience of the song. Did this song particularly mean a lot to you? And a chap called Frederick from Sweden got in touch over email, and I said to him, yeah, it's a really good little story. Can you send that to me as an audio message? And he kindly did. So let's pass over to Frederick.
Right, how you doing? This is Frederick from Sweden calling in about Bag It Up. It's a special one for me. When Dig Out Your Soul came out, I was 22 and I had moved to a new town to study and I knew no one. I was newly dumped. I was living in an overpriced room in a health hazardous house outside of town. I was generally hurting. Every morning I'd go to the freezing platform to catch a shuttle train. But I had a portable CD, if you could believe that, and I always used to blast off the new Oasis album on the walk there, and Bag It Up just kicked in, and it helped me get through things, really. I mean, the lyrics, it seemed at the time to describe what I was feeling, although I realize now that it's just a lot of nonsense. But at the time, it all seemed proper real to me, and just a wall of sound and everything I needed at that point in my life. The album really helped me get through the entire back end of 2008. And I can't listen to Bag It Up without remembering it. As if it's much of a song, I can't really tell you. It's too subjective for me. But it's a tune that still can get me on my feet when I need it to. So, anyway, great podcast. Keep it up.
Thank you, Frederick. That's brilliant. I really appreciate that. And anyone else, if you have a special memory or a part of your life where a particular Oasis song really made a big difference to you, then yeah, do feel free to get in touch. I really love hearing those stories and playing out those stories. It doesn't necessarily have to be one of the ones we're doing on A to Z. It's just really good to hear from you. So yeah, thank you very much, Frederick. That was great. Now, as always on these, I put it out there on Twitter and asked what you guys thought of Bag It Up. And you didn't let me down, as ever. So we rated out of 5. 5 got 23%, 4 got 43%, 3 got 27%, and 2 got 7%. So a fairly clearly a 4 out of 5. I think overall it would just come out slightly under 4, but pretty much 4 out of 5 song, I think, is very fair. And the responses were, Paul Costello said, 5 for me, top tune and great album opener. I think I'll have to send you an audio for this one. And of course he did. I pointed out back to him, is that little guitar riff reminiscent of Ziggy Stardust? And he said, I haven't noticed, I shall have a listen. And I think it is. Let's check. Citizens Kipax said 4, got American hint to it, but I like it. Can also tell it's from 2008 just by Noel's lyrics. Could easily be used as one of the songs in his first debut album. And I pointed out that's an interesting comment about lyrics. They are different. Why do you think they make you think they must be from 2008? And he said, maybe I didn't mean lyrics, just the style of it really reminds me of Stranded on the Wrong Beach, which is interesting. I think it more feels like a Dig Out Your Soul song overall, rather than the High Flying Birds song. I think a couple of that album could nod towards the first High Flying Birds, but I wouldn't necessarily pick this one out as one of them. Maybe it's just because it's got the Liam vocal. Dave Fawcett, who is at 1D Fawcett, probably because he's a One Direction fan, said, great tune, shoddy lyrics, for that reason, 4 out of 5. And I said, what, any lyric that includes heebie-jeebies can't be classed as shoddy? And he said, haha, fair challenge, so he's not all bad. Chris Park, who is at park1_Chris, says, banging tune, powerful guitars, pounding drums, great harmonies, and an explosion to finish things up. I got my heebie-jeebies in a little bag, is screamed out loud by myself no matter how many times I hear it. Only a 4 because it's not long enough. Would have loved to have heard it live. Drew McClelland, who is at Drew McClelland, said, I love this tune. I think this and The Turning deserve to be bracketed amongst the great Oasis tunes. Odd structure, weird tuning, it was a bit different, but with the swagger and confidence of old. Should have been played live and might have had a chance to be remembered. Oh, well, I think we've proven today it has been remembered. But yeah, I definitely think that it would have been a really good one to have in a live set. My only issue with it, especially about the live, is I've mentioned this before. One of the things I don't like about later Oasis is often there is just this thumping drum. And, you know, when you go back to, you know, the Tony McCarroll drums or the Alan White drums, there was always much more going on, you know. I mean, even like A Live Forever was very simple, but I don't know, it wasn't just that thump, thump, thump that often came in the later years. Louise from StopCrowningHeartOut.com said, fantastic song. Its best quality is arguably its greater reliance on Liam and Noel's vocals, which are a collective force on this and throughout Dig Out Your Soul. Sounds great in the car and even better on full blast through my headphones. An absolute stomper of a tune. And I completely agree. And that's a little point to make about the vocals, actually. Paul, in his little clip, did already drop in a little isolated vocal. But for all the Dig Out Your Soul songs, you do have isolated vocals and isolated instrumental tracks that are really definitely worth having a listen to. So, yeah, check out this bit of isolated vocals.
Someone tell me I'm dreaming. The freaks are rising up through the floor. Everything I believe in is telling me that I want more, more, more. Lay your love on the fire. When you come on in, I got my heebie-jeebies in an inner bag. Tell me what you desire, and we'll back it up high.
So you can hear there, it's one of those great things about Oasis that really make Oasis special for me is the combination of the two voices together. And yeah, on here, I think they sound absolutely brilliant. Noel doing those high harmonies is fantastic. And Liam is just didn't, you know, Liam for me is one of my favourite vocals of his. I absolutely love it. Clarky, who is at Clarky_18_, says 5 for me. An inspired opener like an angry groove. The band really are high on the playing side and we're only going to get better. Yeah, that is a shame. Once again, it's signposting towards the future and then nothing. Dan Best at DanBest84 says, I just can't believe that Dig Out Your Soul is coming up to 10 years. Bag It Up is a great opener and could have been a great set opener. 4 out of 5 for me. I'm going to make myself a cup of Lady Grey. Yeah. That's going to be very soon, isn't it? The 10-year anniversary. Maybe we'll do an episode on that. Trevor Duncanson says, proper opening track. This and Waiting for the Rapture are my two favourites from the album. Jim Regan, who is at JBone72, says, gave it a 4. Always liked the beat and guitar and how it leads into the turning. Shane at Shane's Life says, good caveman rock and roll. I think, yeah, that thump thump. I think that's why it's caveman rock and roll. But should have been played live. Apparently Noel didn't like how it sounded in rehearsals and the turning. Massive blow to this live tour was leaving these two out. Oh, I haven't heard that. Yeah, but would make sense. 3 out of 5, decent track, says Greedy Soul at Supernova Dragon. One of the best on the album, but that's not saying much as far as I'm concerned. Liam's vocals are okay, but nothing amazing, and the lyrics leave a lot to be desired. Wow, there's a different point of view. David Walker, who is at Dave10Supernova, to whom I say congratulations. He's just had a twin boys I saw on Instagram the other day. So congrats to Dave and to Mrs. Supernova. Well done. He says, 3, think it's an okay song, nothing special really. Has some cool lyrics, but don't personally like the drum sound on it. Sounds too loose and baggy for me. I like Liam's vocals in it, though. I always thought a good live version could have drawn me to like it more, but it never happened. Brianna Westervelt, who is at BriWest11, said, damn, I forgot to vote, but 4 is probably what I would have given Bag It Up anyway. It's a stomper of a tune, especially when it comes on while I'm driving in my little Prius and the car starts shaking with the force of my big feet stomping along. That's fantastic. Lovely image, Brianna. Thank you. Jew Gross, J-U-G-R-O-S-S, says, maybe my favourite on the album. That's cool. Michael Hart, said, who is at What a Mind Blast, said, a decent opener. Wish they'd played it live. Foodman Beard, who is at Foodman Beard, gave it a 4. It's a stomper, an expected Oasis album opener. When it first came out, someone said it had a Pink Floyd sound to it, which I never got. Yeah, I don't necessarily think it sounds like Pink Floyd. I think more just in that chromatic drop definitely has a Pink Floyd sound to it. I like the musical confusion at the end of the tune the best and the odd tuning. Yep, good shout. Kieran, who is at MadForIt2002, 5 out of 5, proper stomper, gutted they never did this live. Moonchild, who is at Galag72, says, great opener, powerful vocals, great guitar parts, amazing ending. Richie Lumsden, who is at Richie_Lumsden, said, always thought it was very oddly produced, very strange drum sound. I think it's NG playing him. Could be. And very muddy. Liam's vocals too low in the mix. Solid tune, but probably the weakest opening track from any of their albums. Full disclosure, I'm not much of a fan of Dig Out Your Soul. Liam's vocals too low in the mix. I think Liam's vocals are pretty prominent in there. And I don't know if Noel plays them or not. That's a very good question. If I get Andy Bell or one of the guys on the future, I'll ask him. And then Steve Dorr, who is at Steve Dorr 1982, in response to that, said, got excited when NG said it was influenced by Baron Saturday by the Pretty Things, which I love. Sadly, it sounds nothing like it. One of my least favourite tracks, and a terrible opener. Should have been Chock of the Lightning. Interesting. Med, who is at Sunshine, says, 5 sets the tone for one of the most underrated Oasis albums. Richard Dunmull, who is at Rich_Euphrates, says, a raucous tune, best song that they never played live. Well, that's a good shout. What is the best song they never played live? Probably She's Electric? I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe that's another discussion for another day. Jim at JimF1984 says, definitely one of the better, more catchy tunes on the record. Always sing along in the car, but wouldn't choose to put this track on. Certainly not up there with the top Oasis stuff. One of the better tracks on an average album. Bit more hate for Dig Out Your Soul. General Assumption, who is at Mr. Nick Saunders, says, I always thought it was an ode to Noel's Bin Man. Yeah, fair enough. Tristan Cooper said, Tris13579. Wait, hold on. No, it wouldn't be his Bin Man. Because bin men don't bag it up. You bag it up, and then the bin men just put it in the bin lorry. Unless, have you got a bin man that actually puts your rubbish in the bin for you? General Assumption? Wow, that's pretty good service. Anyway, sorry, where was I? Tristan Cooper says, who is at Tris13579. Can't believe so many people are into this one. Average at best for me. Don't think I've listened to that album since 2009, mind. Give it another spin. That's the one thing I'd say about Oasis albums from later period, and also for me the solo stuff as well, because it's not up to the level as the first three Oasis albums. I've always sort of, yeah, it was always disappointing because it wasn't that. But then I think I've said this before. I've grown to appreciate them for what they are instead of what I wanted them to be. Morning Glory, brackets Angel Cox, at Angel Dawn 8212 says, I just love that tune. It's absolutely brilliant, that tune. And then lots of different emojis. So I think that is a young person. Daniel Cadet, who is at Dan Cadet, said, I would say poor, but I love Oasis too much to call any of their work poor. Well, Darren, that's very good of you. Ryan Cruz, who is at Ryan Cruz 1876, says, class beat. Yes, and Kev at Lennon Lenoff. Oh, I like that. Lennon Lenoff. All right, I like that. Shout out to Barry Chuckle, who died. Love this track. A different vibe for Oasis and a hidden gem. Or it could be a hidden gem, but I think it's a hidden gem. So I think that's it. Thank you very much for all your comments on it. Much appreciated. And my final thoughts on it, I always cover off, was it right to be where it was on the album as an album opener? Yeah, I think so. I think it kicks off the album well. I think it's always important to have a Liam vocal starting an album. That's always key, I think, in Oasis. So I get the point about Shock of the Lightning. I think that could have been a very good album opener. But I like this as an album. It's like you're in, you know, you're into this. And then you do have the explosion at the end that goes really well into the turning. So, yeah, I think it works very well as an album opener. A single? No, not for me. And would it have been a B-side? No, it was definitely stronger than the other B-sides around at that time. So definitely, I think a opening track of the album was a really good position for it. And I definitely think they should have played it live. I think that's really would have been worth it. And the one thing I'll leave you with is our good friend Ross Hayes, who does stuff on YouTube about The Hazed. We haven't played him for a little while, but he did a Bag It Up mix. So let's drop a little bit of that in to close this off. So if you do have any other thoughts or views on Bag It Up, any stories, anything that those comments have raised with you, then do feel free to get in touch as ever. Audio messages are always my favourite. The best way to get in touch with those is via email, oasispod@gmail.com. And yeah, I love to play the messages out there. Tell me what you desire. I'll bag it up. Next up on the Oasis A to Z will be Be Here Now, the song from the album Be Here Now, which there's plenty to say. So do feel free to get in touch if you have something to say about Be Here Now. And yeah, and just let you know, now that things are going to calm down a bit with the Oasis news, because, you know, it's all going to go a bit quiet on that front while Liam and Noel are kind of on hiatus, I'm going to be doing these a bit more regularly. So if you want to see what else is coming up, if you head over to Spotify and just search for Oasis Podcast or Oasis A-Z, then you'll find my the Spotify list, which is basically what I use to work from. Although I do have to double check, because I don't think everything's on Spotify. So yeah, but anyway, so that's where we're getting it from. So some good stuff coming up. Be Here Now, Better Man, Bonus Bank Holiday, Born on a Different Cloud, Boy with the Blues, and Bring It On Down. That's not a bad set of B's. Anyway, so that'll do it for now. Thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast. And as always, a special thanks always go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post the occasional article by myself or by anyone that wants to contribute. If you'd like to contribute an article, then do feel free to get in touch and we can throw it up on there. I also did a recent episode up there talking about going on Mastermind, and I'm going to be posting the Sonic Vision stuff on there as well. And also I'm going to look to do more individual episodes, so maybe not necessarily Oasis related. Let me know if there's anything you want me to cover. I was thinking about doing my time in the band, and just to give you a bit of a background on what happened there, because that's quite interesting. Please follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Get in touch, email at oasispod@gmail.com. You can get merch with the Oasis Podcast logo at TeePublic. And please subscribe and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, if you want to call it that. But I think I still call it iTunes. Oh, and you can obviously review us on other sites as well as iTunes. A lot of other podcatchers will allow that, but I don't often see it. iTunes is the one I sort of tend to keep an eye on. So if you're going to do that, please let me know. And then so I can, because I do like to read them out on the show. And especially as well, if you're iTunes but not in the UK, then let me know, because then I can read them out as well. So, as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.